We call ourselves the Night Stalkers.
Sounds like rejects from a Saturday morning cartoon.
Well, we're gonna go with the Care Bears, but that was taken.
Okay, well, this one time at band camp.
So no more running. I am to misbehave.
HTF Radio presents the DVD Marquee with your hosts, Jeffrey Rosato and Shane McDonald. Brought to you by iCraveDVD.com and TheHomeTheaterForum.com.
Welcome to another edition of the DVD Marquee. I'm Jeff Rosato.
And I'm Shane McDonald, and we're back with The Ocho.
And on this week's program, we have Mr. and Mrs. Smith, unrated edition. I don't think we'll see the baby, though. Butch Cassidy, Shop Girl,
High School Musical, Date Movie, and a classic from Fox, Patton.
Stay with us, won't you?
How often do you have sex?
I don't understand the question.
Yeah, I'm lost. Is this a 1 to 10 thing?
But because, like, is one very little or is one nothing? Because, you know, technically speaking, the zero would be nothing.
That's right. And if we don't know what one is, what's 10?
Yeah, because 10, like, constant.
Unrelenting.
Not stopping for, like, nothing.
Not indeed.
Like Sting?
Well, look at Sting's day job. Who else has 60 hours a week to put in the sack?
It's not a 1 to 10 scenario. It's a basic question. How often do you have sex?
First on the plate, we have Mr. and Mrs. Smith from Fox Home Entertainment. It stars two Hollywood heavyweights, well, most beautiful people, if you will, in Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, directed by Bourne Identity director Doug Liman. And I got to tell you, Jeffrey, I actually enjoyed this movie. Where a lot of people didn't enjoy it, I thought it was pretty good. It entertained me for however long it was. It was funny. It had some good action and a not bad story to it as well.
I did too. I had some reservations about it. I thought that it was an interesting story, but I do have to say that the chemistry between Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, you know, I've read about it and all the magazines, all the tabloid shows, or whatever, you know. And I was kind of skeptical because, to be honest, I really haven't liked Angelina Jolie in any movie that she's done so far. But this time, she actually impressed me. I have to admit that I was taken with her. It's a good blend of action and story. It's got a lot of really good laughs in it, some great stunt work. And we have an unrated edition of it this time. And since this is a double dip for you, could you detect anything that was different from the original release that came out?
There were a couple of differences, but nothing all that noticeable. One of the things was right at the beginning of the dance scene. That was extended a little bit. Most of the stuff was just extended or a slightly different angle. That was really the only big difference.
I'll tell you one thing that impressed me about this DVD was the sound. I mean, this has to have one of the most kicking 5.1 soundtracks I've heard in a long, long time. It's very vivid. It's kind of it's a contrasting thought, but it's vivid, but yet it doesn't call attention to itself, if that makes sense at all.
I agree with you. It has great sound, and a perfect complement to it was the video. The video looked fantastic for this release as well.
Yes, it does. Yeah. So extras-wise, do you think it's worth a two-disc edition? I mean, I thought some of the behind-the-scenes stuff was great. I liked a lot of the Doug Liman film school featurettes. I thought those were kind of fascinating in terms of angles and setup. But what were your thoughts on that?
I think we've been waiting for this two-disc edition. I think it added a lot more. The previous release was kind of ho-hum. This release, they threw in some stuff. You've got your making of, the 32-minute making of, which I thought was pretty interesting because the writer goes through his entire concept of how he came up with it, and then you get to see a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff, which I really enjoy seeing. The deleted scenes were okay. The alternate ending, gag reels, blah, blah, blah. Not really all that big deal. I think the real big bonus here was Doug's film school, which basically is like an enhanced deleted scene.
I agree with that, and I'm also in agreement with you as far as that documentary. That was fantastic, because one thing that I like when they do these behind-the-scenes featurettes or documentaries or what have you, is these extended moments where there's no narration, there's no sound bites from the stars, and it makes you feel like you're part of the filmmaking process. So I really like that a lot.
So all in all, I'm going to recommend this DVD. I think it's a top-notch release, once again from Fox. I know it's a double dip, but if you didn't pick up the first one and you were thinking about it, grab this one.
And I think if you liked movies along the lines of True Lies, which this movie completely ripped off, in my opinion, kinda, I think it's definitely worth a rental purchase. You may want to wait and see what you think of it first, but it's not bad. I enjoyed it. If you like action adventure, this is probably your ticket. And you couldn't ask for a hotter couple.
Sorry. I'll get it next time. Hey. All right.
Hi.
Hi.
You look nice.
Yeah? Yeah, thanks. Man. Get ready to have the time of your life.
Okay. I'm ready.
You know, for the past several weeks, I have been urging my co-host to see a terrific film written by Steve Martin based on a novella that he came out with a few years ago called Shop Girl. And it's turned into a beautiful, beautiful movie starring Mr. Martin himself, along with Claire Danes and Jason Schwartzman. Quick Cliff Notes version of the storyline. It's a lonely girl who works at Saks Fifth Avenue in Los Angeles, and her life is changed by not one, but two men. A really geeky, eccentric, oh, I don't know what to call him, Shane, just somebody interesting and different, played by Jason Schwartzman, and this dapper millionaire, played by that former wild and crazy guy himself, Steve Martin. Now, Shane, I don't know if romantic comedy drama is your cup of tea, but what were your feelings on Steve Martin's Shop Girl?
I thought it was a very well-written and well-acted movie. It was a little boring. It was a little more on the dramatic side. I guess I was expecting more comedy out of a Steve Martin movie, but it was enjoyable, and I really enjoyed Jason Schwartzman in this movie. He's been a lot of fun in a lot of the movies that he's done recently where he plays that kind of quirky, weird guy.
Yeah, right. You know, going in, I knew that it was going to be kind of a dramedy, and I've seen Steve Martin do some really good dramatic work in films like Leap of Faith and The Spanish Prisoner, and he's turned into a wonderful, wonderful straight actor, and I would much rather see him in movies like this than Cheaper by the Dozen Part 13. Nothing wrong with those movies either. Those are great family fun, but just it's so wonderful to see him stretch his wings, and it pretty much wipes out any antagonism or disgust that I had toward him trying to pick up where Peter Sellers left off in the Pink Panthers movies, but that's another story. But I enjoyed it a lot as well. I think it's one of the best romantic comedy dramas to come along in a long, long time. And for those that love the book, I think the movie is even better.
I haven't read the book, so I can't comment on that. But what I will comment on is that the audio and the video on this DVD, which is from Touchstone Home Entertainment, fits perfectly with the movie. It's kind of a dark palette. It's kind of bland for this DVD, and the audio, it fits in perfectly. Like, there's nothing really huge audio-wise that's required. It's mostly dialogue with some score and music in the background, so it fits in all right.
Yeah, you were talking bland, but I just think that's the way that the intention of the cinematographer. I think that the film intended to have this look, because if you remember, it starts out kind of dark and murky, and depending on the circumstances in Claire Danes character's life at the moment, then the colors change, if you remember. So I don't think that's the fault of the transfer. I think it just happens to be, you know, that kind of a look for this film. You know, it's not for some taste, but I thought it was all right. And I agree with you with the audio.
I wasn't dissing the transfer. I'm just saying that's how it looks.
Oh, yeah, I understand.
And you're right. It did change depending on her mood, so that fit in really well.
Now, features-wise, it's not a jam-packed disc, but there is a fairly listenable commentary by the director, who sounds like he's Steve Martin's biggest fan. I don't think Steve's taken out a restraining order, but he did have a lot of nice things to say about Steve, as well as Claire and Jason. And there's also a terrific making of that takes us behind the scenes of the film from its novella origins to its final completion as a theatrical movie. There's also two deleted scenes, both of which I feel didn't really work at all and were pretty much correctly left out.
Yeah, I enjoyed the making of. I thought it was a little different than the typical making of because you actually get the perspective of Steve Martin, who wrote the novella and then wrote the screenplay for this movie, and the director, of course, saying that because he has so much experience in movies, he was able to really write a perfect script to accompany his book.
And you know, that's another thing about Steve Martin that I admire. He is a wonderful writer. You go back and look at some of his best films like L.A. Story, Bowfinger. The writing is fantastic. I wish he would write more films. Matter of fact, I would not have a problem if he just simply functioned as a writer and let other people in front of the camera. But just he has just a wonderful ear for dialogue that can be, you know, he can come up with these jokes that are very gut-bustingly funny, but also he can be very dry, which is equally effective to me in films, even dramatic films like this. So I'm definitely saying that it's a keeper, and you're saying that, well, rental for you?
I'm going to recommend it as well. I don't know if people are going to be apt to buy it, but it's definitely rental material. It's a definitely watch. It's something that I will recommend to pretty much everybody I know and everybody listening that they at least give this movie a watch. And you get to see Claire Danes' backside in the buff.
Very important.
That's right. So right there, we just basically induced all the hormone crazed guys to run out and see this movie for her back end.
If you say so, Shane, I'm more of a story guy, but I certainly wasn't complaining when, well, you know. Let's move on to our next movie, shall we?
Well, the way I figure it, we can either fight or give. If we give, we go to jail.
I've been there already.
But if we fight, they can stay right where they are and starve us out. Or go for position, shoot us. Might even get a rock slide started and get us that way. What else can they do?
They could surrender to us, but I wouldn't count on that. They're going for position, all right. Better get ready.
Kid, the next time I say let's go someplace like Bolivia, let's go someplace like Bolivia.
Next time. Ready?
No, we'll jump.
Now, as most of you are aware who have been following the show since the beginning, I haven't seen a lot of classic films or what are considered classics. And being a DVD reviewer, you do get to see a lot of movies that you wish you could have seen but never saw because they might not have been your taste. And I got to see one that surprised the heck out of me, which was Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. I'd never seen it before. I wasn't aware it was a comedy.
Oh, yeah.
But this was an awesome movie. I love this movie. These two are perfect on the screen together.
I think that's an understatement, Shane. You know, I grew up in the period when this movie was released, and I cannot believe that Paul Newman and Robert Redford have only made two films together. I think there is some kind of a documentary project that they're involved with at the present time regarding Sundance, but what a combination. And I cannot imagine anybody, of course, you know, this is in the documentary that we're going to talk about a little bit later on, but Robert Redford was not really that big of a star at this time. Hard to believe.
He wasn't. But yeah.
There was a time when he was kind of, an almost kind of guy, kind of like Josh Lucas right now. But this movie just put him over the top. And the names that were considered, Brando, McQueen, even though McQueen might have brought his cool to it, he would have tried to have stolen the movie. And that's not the case with these two here. They complement each other so well. They didn't try to detract attention from one another. They were almost two musicians, perfectly in sync with one another. And it's just, in a way, if you think about it, it's really not just a classic Western, but it's perhaps the first real buddy movie.
I agree. Their characters and the way they acted them seemed like they'd been lifelong friends.
Exactly. I mean, it basically kind of foreshadowed their 40-plus year relationship. And I just, you know, I find myself speechless in talking about this film. It gets everything right, from the storyline, the Old West feel, the music. Of course, we can't say enough things about Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head. perhaps one of the first incidents in movie history in which we had a kind of a music video in a modern day movie that wasn't a musical. And that's another thing that they touch on in the documentary. You know, I grew up in an era when we had the Monkees, the Beatles, you know, music and film were natural for me. And I also love those old MGM musicals, but just according to the folks that were, you know, screening this movie in advance, it came off as kind of weird and they didn't think it was going to work, but it's probably one of the best parts of the movie.
I agree. That was a pretty unique scene. I wasn't expecting to see that right in the middle of the movie.
And speaking of that particular sequence, let's not forget the beautiful Catherine Ross, who was just coming off The Graduate, another movie I think you should see, young man. She is wonderful as Etta and adds a lot of color to this movie. Usually it's Newman and Redford that get all the credit, but she plays a terrific part in this film as well.
Yeah, for the little bit that she's in the movie, well, she's in it quite a bit, but not as much as these two. She does some scene stealing on them, which I think is kind of unique considering that the focus is supposed to be on these two.
Well, for those of you out there that bought the original disc way back when, I bet you're wondering if you need to buy it again, and the answer is an unqualified yes, because Fox went all out on this two-disc package. You get the film on disc number one. It looks basically to me like the same transfer. That's my only disappointment. I thought they could have spiffed it up a little bit, but the original disc was not bad to look at to begin with. You've also got a new commentary track by screenwriter William Goldman. The original commentary track with George Rory Hill, Hal David, Robert Conrad Jr., and the wonderful cinematographer Conrad Hall is included. You've also got the original interviews that were on the 1999 era DVD. You've got a terrific history through the lens, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, Outlaws Out of Time documentary, which tells you a lot about the differences between the real life characters and their screen counterparts. There's a terrific brand new making of that I cannot say enough of called All of What Follows is True, the making of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. And let's see what else. We've got production notes, all the theatrical trailers, and a really unusual deleted scene that they lost the audio for, but they have subtitles. And it's probably, I would have kept it in had I been in charge, because there's a very funny part. I don't want to give it away, but it's like Butch and Sundance see themselves in a way that they don't particularly think is flattering. And I'll put it that way.
I got nothing to add.
So you really enjoyed it, huh?
I did. This was fantastic. I enjoyed the entire DVD.
Now, folks, this is not the only movie in our show this week that our young cinematic Jedi in training is going to talk about. We're also going to have another classic film down the line, but I do believe it's Halftime.
Halftime. We do have some stuff to talk to you about again. Like always, we want you to vote for us.
Yes, we do.
That's right. Just come to our website, dm.icravedvd.com, and punch in your email address and click vote now. You'll get an email back that you have to click on. We need to boost our numbers. And Frapper, I just want to thank people that have added themselves. So thanks, guys, for adding yourselves. If you haven't, head on over to Frapper and just click on Add Me to the Map.
Because we want to know where you are out in listener land, so please do so. It's a website, if I remember correctly from the last time. Do they have to register or anything, Shane?
No, they don't have to register.
Okay, good deal. So you've got no excuse. Let us know where you are, folks.
All right, and one other thing. We should probably let you know that Jeffrey and I have decided for the summer months that we're going to do one combined podcast a month.
That's right.
But we're going to fill up those gaps with plenty of mini marquees.
That's correct. We've got a ton load of movies that we just don't have time for on this show. So you will be seeing those at iCraveDVD.com, of course. You'll be seeing them our companion blog at times. And thirdly, like Shane just said, we will be doing a lot of mini marquees. We will use all the outlets that we just mentioned to cover them. So, as Bette Davis said in All About Eve, fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night or a great summer.
Hey!
I don't believe it.
Oh, man.
Either. But how?
Well, my mom's company transferred her here to Albuquerque. I can't believe you live here. I look for you at the lodge on your stay.
I thought we had to leave first thing.
Why are you whispering?
What? Oh, well, my friends know about the snowboarding. I haven't quite told them about the singing thing.
Hey, what's up,
Too much for them to handle?
Oh, no, it was cool. But, you know, my friends, it's not what I do. That was like a different person.
Shane, our next DVD is High School Musical, and this has been one of 2006's most unusual success stories, to say the least. When was the last time you heard people raving about a Disney Channel movie, or for that matter, any basic cable movie?
I don't think I can recall a time when I've heard anybody rave about a TV movie.
You know, back when I was younger, there was this movie that you may have heard of called Brian's Song, which had Billy Dee Williams and James Caan. It was the story of the football player Brian Piccolo, who was dying of cancer. And, you know, back then TV movies were kind of an art form. You know, most of them were pretty crappy, but a few kind of were, you know, very theatrical in quality. And even though this one, I wouldn't want to put it in the same league as Grease, but it sure has that appeal to people. It's spawned record ratings for the Disney Channel, even on repeat showings, and it's even had a number one soundtrack.
It is a fun movie, though, and I think you could kind of put it on the same level as Grease, but not for our generation, maybe for the teen or tween generation, if you would, but you could call it this generation's Grease.
True. I agree. It's very Grease-like in its appeal, and, you know, basically for those who have not seen the film, in a nutshell, the story involves, for those who have not seen the film, a hotshot basketball player named Troy, portrayed by Zac Efron, and the new girl in school, Gabriella, portrayed by Vanessa Ann Hutchins, who just happens to be brainy as she is beautiful. They get involved on New Year's Eve, and suddenly she shows up, Olivia Newton-John style, at his high school, and singing and dancing ensues.
There's some great choreography in this movie, too. Most notably, probably, is the basketball sequence when the basketball team kind of breaks into song during a practice.
I like that, and I also like the gymnasium, not the gymnasium, but the lunchroom scene. Can't think of the song title offhand, but it has something to do like, oh, don't sing, you're meant to be a scientist, and all that. You know, I mean, I thought that was just unbelievably funny in an offbeat way. And, you know, I grew up with musicals. You know, I love things like The Sound of Music and Oliver and all that. And to me, it was kind of like, you know, coming home again. And, you know, it's great to see that the younger generation is getting into this kind of thing. And they've already got a sequel on tap. I don't know if you know that. It's called, it's going to be called Date Movie 2. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what the title is going to be, but they do have one on the boards for sometime next year. So it'll be interesting to see where they can take this concept and see if they can make it work again.
Yeah, hopefully it won't be a Grease 2 disaster.
Well, anyway, Shane, do you want to talk about the special features? It's not as jam-packed as people might think it is. It's called High School Musical, the Encore Edition, but there really isn't much to the bonuses.
No, there isn't a whole lot on this DVD, but before I get into the extras, I just want to mention the audio and the video. Now, the video itself isn't bad. It's your typical TV transfer to DVD, so it looks like it did pretty much on TV.
Right.
But they did include a 5.1 sound mix that I thought sounded good, although it was a little front-end heavy.
I felt the same way. I mean, it's typical TV, you know, a lot of television that we watch, except for certain shows like Lost and Desperate Housewives. There's not a lot going on in the rears. It basically serves to flush out the rest of the room ambience. But still, I thought it was pretty good. Had some good bass in it.
It sure did. Now, the extras themselves, we've got Learning the Moves, which the director, who is also the choreographer, shows us one dance sequence in the movie. and then shows us how to do the moves, and it was kind of a little dumb.
So you didn't get on your feet and try it? You didn't get out and boogie?
No, I didn't bop, bop, bop.
What about the wife? What about the kids?
They were all in bed when I watched this one.
Okay, well, you ought to show it to them. I mean, maybe it could be a family activity, you know?
Yeah, who knows, who knows? There's a couple of music videos on here. There's a never-before-seen music video, so people who are fans of the movie will probably enjoy to see a new music video. There's some behind-the-scenes stuff. It's kind of short, a little bit interesting. Not the greatest package, but can't expect a whole lot for this type of production.
True. And do you know that the choreographer, the legendary Kenny Ortega, just happens to be the man that kind of helped work out the moves for a little movie you may have heard of called Dirty Dancing?
No. News to me.
Yep. He's done a lot of television work in recent years, some theatrical films. From what I understand, I think this is his first time behind the camera, and I thought he did a very good job.
I'll agree. It was an enjoyable film.
Oh, we forgot to mention that there's a semi-karaoke kind of thing going on. There's subtitles to where you can sing along Sound of Music style to all of your favorite songs in the film. And that's about it. I think we've covered all the bases. So for those of you that would like a pristine copy, High School Musical is your ticket to sing and dance.
And if you're questioning whether you'd like it or not, give it a rent first. I'm sure some of you are going to end up going back and buying it.
Dear Diary, I had that nightmare again. I fear I'll never get married. Maybe I am destined to be a sad old spinster whose only companionship comes from an absurd amount of cats.
Since the success of the Naked Gun movies, Hot Shots, and many other movies, spoof movies have come a long way. Probably since Scary Movie picked up and did so well, a lot of studios are attempting to capitalize on a lot of the good movies or great movies that have come out recently. And another one that just came out from 20th Century Fox is Date Movie. Now, they just released it in an unrated edition, and this movie spoofs Wedding Crashers, The Wedding Planner, Hitch, Napoleon Dynamite. There's so many in there, I can't name them all. Meet the Parents. But the movie's got a couple of laughs, but overall, I think Jinxer stole the show.
You know, I was hoping you weren't going to mention the cat, and you know, that and Eddie Griffith getting a mouthful of Fred Willard's chest hair, it's taken me days to get those images out of my mind. But I got to tell you, I got to be honest here. This movie's like an album that you find underwhelming at first listen. But the more I watched this film to check out the stuff, you know, the extras, commentaries and such, it just got funnier to me. And I have to say, it's grown on me like that humongous zit that Allison Hannigan has to bust toward the end of the movie. And I have a very curious reaction to it. I wasn't blown away by it, but yet I'm entertained by it in a very strange way. I think it mostly has to do with the fact that I'm a big Allison Hannigan fan. Of course, you know, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, How I Met Your Mother. And she's just so game in this movie. You cannot help but like her, even if you don't like the film as a whole.
Yeah, I had a first bad impression of this movie, too. The first time I watched it, I was like, well, I guess that's all right. But then I watched it with a couple of friends, and we laughed, and it's stuff that I didn't find funny before I found this time. And I'm just going to break right into the extras, because there's one extra on here that I thought was great, and that's the anti-commentary by films critic Scott Foundas and Bob Strauss. They just rip this movie apart.
That was great. Well, actually, one of them kind of liked it, right? I mean, one kind of liked it, and the other critic kind of hated it, and the guy that liked it was kind of sorry that he did, and he couldn't believe he was doing this commentary track. It was very entertaining.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's almost like us, except for we're not getting paid to do it.
Yeah, I hear you. But We're not getting paid to do it, but we are entertaining offers. But, you know, but one thing that I have to comment about that I just literally hated and saw no reason for it at all, just a total waste of disk space. What about this incredibly stupid laugh track?
You know what? I kind of thought the laugh track was kind of funny at the beginning. But then the longer you watch the movie with the laugh track on, the more you're like, why is this even on here?
I mean, there's no way that this could have been recorded in an actual screening of this movie unless the public is beginning to dumb down like some scientists are saying. But my God, it just gets worse and worse. And I don't know if it's some kind of inside joke that we're not in on. I certainly thought, at first I thought it was going to be terrific, kind of like a typical sitcom track that's cranked up a little too loud and the people are laughing way too much. But just this is over the top with a capital. I mean, it's really probably the most ridiculous extra I've ever seen on a DVD, or heard in this case.
And the other one I was a little disappointed with was the first commentary with writer Jason Friedberg and Aaron Seltzer, who also directed the film, by the way. They kept bleeping out every movie they mentioned that they spoofed.
You know, that is probably one of the more entertaining aspects of this whole extras deal, because apparently, they apparently didn't get the memo from Fox's legal department. You can't say the name of the movies that you're parodying. Don't do it, you know. And it sounds like a really, like a rap record you're listening to on the radio that hasn't been censored. And it was just, made me laugh. It was funnier than the laugh track. Matter of fact, what they should have done is put people in a room and put headphones on and recorded a laugh track to this commentary track. That would have been more entertaining than the laugh track they wound up with.
There's another commentary on here, too, a third one, with Allison Hannigan, Adam Campbell, Sophie Monk, Valerie Ortiz, and Tony Cox. It's just your typical cast commentary. I didn't find it very informative. They laughed more so at what they had to do each scene.
But it sounded like they had a good time on the shoot, if anything. I could tell there was a great camaraderie and chemistry there. And I think I liked it more than you did, because, it could have been more technical, more set stories. But there were a few things here and there that I did enjoy. And if we can get back to the movie for just a second, there are some great set pieces in this movie. I love we're going to go ahead and say the shows. You know, I don't care if we get sued or not. There's parodies of Pimp Your Ride or Pimp My Ride. And I got to ask you, I don't know how big it is in Canada, but what did you think of the Bachelor parody?
That was brilliant.
I hate to give this away, but I got to talk about it. They actually got the actual host of The Bachelor, the wonderful Chris Harrison, to come on and do a cameo. And he has a line. I don't think I could get away with saying it because, I do have, I think we probably do have some kids listening. So I really can't say it without getting a little blue in the face here. But the way he delivers this particular line with a straight face has got to be probably one of the best bits of acting I've seen in 2006 so far. I mean, anyway. And I should note that this particular version of The Bachelor in the film is called The Bachelor Extreme Edition. So, I would say if you're on the side of caution, rent this one. But if you like the kind of movies like Airplane, the ones that Shane mentioned earlier, I think you'll find it worth your while. But proceed with caution. Agreed?
Agreed. I definitely rent it first.
You see that? I want you to remember that no bastard ever won a war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country. Amen? All this stuff you've heard about America not wanting to fight, wanting to stay out of the war, is a lot of horse dung. Americans traditionally love to fight. All real Americans love the sting of battle.
Shane, I think we have saved our best movie for last, and I have to start off with a couple of personal memories here. My brother, Kenny, took me to see Patton back around 1971 with my sister-in-law, Donna, and, you know, I never had a chance to ask him, why did he take me to see this particular film? Was it because I was kind of like a kid that got picked on and he thought that this would instill some, you know, blood and guts in me? Or was it a chance to see a historical movie or just to get me out of the house? I think the latter was pretty much the excuse, just to get me out of the house. But it wound up becoming like a watershed night in my movie-going history. It's definitely in my top 10 to top 20 films of all time, and I'll tell you how you determine such a list. It's when you can recall a ton of moments and lines that you've never forgotten. And I want to ask you, Shane, did Patton have this kind of effect on you, being your first time to see it?
Probably not the same effect it had on you, but I was impressed with this movie. I could not believe how well this movie was constructed, filmed, written, and the fact that it's historically true and most everything we see in the film is based on fact makes it even that much better.
Yes, it was. I mean, it was meticulously researched even before production began, and I was very surprised to find out in one of the extras that this film had been on the boards at 20th Century Fox since like the early 50s. I did not know that at all, but it sounded like it was worth the wait because they got it right. They got the right people on board. The family wound up loving it. It's just a superb performance. And what can you say about George C. Scott that hasn't been written in many a movie book over the years? He just owns this movie from the moment he says,
"You see it?"
Exactly. And the one thing I was truly impressed with, and you hear this in a couple of the extras, is he wasn't a big movie star, and this basically launched his career. And he played the part, and I don't know a lot about Patton, I don't know a lot about American history. I can say that because I'm Canadian, and we're not taught much in the American history. But this makes me want to go and learn just a little bit more about the U.S. side of everything when it came to World War II.
It had that effect on me when I was a kid. You know, when I was younger, I loved reading about presidents. And I hope that this film has the same effect on people, not just of your generation, but younger people. The language is kind of rough. I don't know if certain parents who might be wary of a language of this type in this film be exposed to their younger kids. And boy, there is some language in this film that's still even stunning some 30-something years later. But I just think it succeeds on so many levels. It's a great character study. It's a great story of a friendship between two fellow generals. And what about, you know, George C. Scott has gotten all the accolades all these years. How about we give Carl Malden some love, who played Omar Bradley? Wasn't he great?
He was great. And in one of the extras, they actually talk about how great he played it. One of the war vets actually said, "Wow, this is that general. He doesn't look like him, but he played it like him."
Exactly, exactly. And he has one of the best lines in this film, and it kind of shows you how he was the antithesis of General Patton. He goes,
"I do this job because I've been trained to do it. You do it because you love it."
That was a good moment.
And there's so many like that. I mean, you know, Patton directing the tanks on their way to battle. His response when asked if he reads the Bible. Can't say that. His reaction was...
Yeah, don't quote that.
No, but, you know, I think people will get a kick out of it. Well, maybe... Some people will. I don't know. His reaction when his prized canine companion buckles under when he's approached by a much smaller dog. I mean, it's just so many great moments, and the fact that he believed he was a warrior in a past life, and oh my gosh, and wanting to be beloved, and wanting to be like the British counterpart, General Montgomery. Can't remember the actor's name, but boy, what a great job that guy did.
Yeah, for the little bit that he's in the movie, he really does play, and I'm sorry to any of our England listeners, a pretentious English prick. And that's how his role was supposed to be.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, if you look at that newsreel footage, the resemblance between these two are absolutely stunning.
No doubt. Now, one thing I was actually surprised about, and I wasn't aware of this, is Francis Ford Coppola's involvement in this film. I didn't realize he wrote the first draft, and then they fired him because they thought it was too risque.
Exactly, and he was responsible, if I'm not mistaken, for this legendary opening scene, which even George C. Scott had reservations about it. You know, when people think of this movie, the first images that they likely have in their head is George C. Scott in front of that gigantic American flag, those cutaways of the metal, the helmet, the whip or whatever you call it, the pistols. And, you know, it's just an iconic moment in film history. And on a personal note, this is one of my dad's favorite films. My dad is not much of a film buff. He had like maybe five different movies that he enjoyed. But he loved Patton, and I think it had special resonance for him, as well as a lot of veterans, because my dad served in both World War II and Korea. And I think, you know, in spite of his imperfections, he had a lot of respect for General Patton. And, you know, it's so ironic that I love this movie so much, because I am, you know, I have to admit, I'm not a war person. I don't think we should be in Iraq. I don't want to turn this into a political statement, but yet... And still, if I was forced to go into battle, I'll tell you, I sure as hell want somebody like General Patton on my side leading me into battle.
Now, Jeffrey, for a movie that's as old as this is, we've got a 36-year-old print. The video track looked pretty good for something that old. It did have a couple of noise and specs on it, but you got to consider the age of the print, and it looked more like print damage than actual transfer problems.
You know, I saw this movie at the drive-in many moons ago, and lots of drive-in prints were pretty bad. Lots of TV prints before the days when videotape came along were pretty bad. And I have to tell you, and also, let's not forget the original DVD release, which was non-16:9, ladies and gentlemen. I think this is about as close to perfection. I don't think this film is going to look or sound any better. I thought it looked fantastic. And what about the 5.0? Actually, this version is 5.0, and it sounds fantastic.
I was actually shocked to see the 0.0 on the end. It could have benefited, I think, from that low-end sound that, you know, especially during the war scenes where the planes and the tanks are all firing at each other.
But you got to remember, this film was made at the end of the 60s, and technology wasn't what it is now. And I thought the low end was just great, considering the age of the film. And an interesting note, the original DVD release was 5.1. I don't know why they downgraded it to 5.0, but to me, they sound a bit identical, but this one sounds a lot cleaner. The dialogue's a lot crisper. And for those on the fence about upgrading, oh, you shouldn't waste a minute, because it includes virtually all of the extras from the original package and a lot more stuff, including a couple of things that you were very impressed by, including a couple of documentaries I think you'll want to comment on here.
Yeah, there was two documentaries that really stood out for me. One of them was Patton's Ghost Corp. What a great documentary. You've got a group of veterans that haven't talked about the war since the war, and then in 2004, they get together, they get them all together, and they talk about their experiences. And I gotta say that a couple of times I was almost brought to tears from some of these guys' stories.
You know what? It almost has a Saving Private Ryan kind of effect. And I think we're pretty darn lucky to have these gentlemen around to give us their sense of a very historic moment in our world. And I found it extremely moving as well. It's a superb extra and probably worth the price of the package alone, which is really not that much. 20th Century Fox, God bless them, they've been releasing a ton of great stuff this year, but it's been very reasonably priced. There's no excuse for anybody who has wanted to pick this film up. It's like, oh, I want to add another Best Picture winner to my collection, and so on. And they've got a perfect excuse. They've got what else is on here? The History Through the Lens, nearly 2-hour long documentary chronicling Patton's career, a lot of newsreel footage and such. And it's also got the original 50-minute documentary that was on the 1999 2000 era release, so you won't be missing that if you want to upgrade. And it's just a great package all the way around. I guess we should mention the fact that it is two discs. One thing I'm very happy about is that the film is on one disc this time. It was on one disc the last time as well, but it's not totally crammed. There's more room for it to breathe this time, and that's why I feel it looks a little bit better than it did back in 1999.
I'm actually shocked that they included the intermission part of the movie, which consequently is when I ended up pausing it to go upstairs to the washroom, and then I come down and hit play, and then it goes intermission.
You know, a lot of movies today could use that kind of treatment, you know, because it's like, you know, oh, I got to go to the bathroom, you know. You don't want to relive my Titanic experience, I assure you, but that's the way it was back then. Roadshow presentations, as they called them back then, usually did have an intermission. And did you notice the music playing in the background while everything was still black?
Yes, I did.
Yet another, you know, staple of films back then. At the intermission, they would play you back in, and on the way out of the theater, sometimes the print would keep on going, and they would have music still on the print, and you would hear music going out. So it was not unlike going to see a Broadway play. So, you know, I love old school stuff like this, and I kind of wish they'd bring it back, along with the Bugs Bunny cartoons. But anyway, summing up, as if we haven't bragged about this disc.
Oh, I've got more, Jeffrey. Already. I've got a couple more things I got to
mention. Oh, you do have more? We can't stop?
Okay. I do.
Mr. Shen.
And then we'll wrap it up.
Continue on.
Just a couple more, and then we'll wrap it up. The galleries, the still galleries. You've got one still gallery that has the complete Jerry Goldsmith score playing behind it. And then you've got a behind-the-scenes gallery that's accompanied by an audio essay on the historical patent. I thought those were great features to include, especially for people that are into scores. They can go through the pictures, and they can listen to his entire score all right there.
And I think this is one of Jerry Goldsmith's, one of his greatest works ever, and it sounds absolutely beautiful. And again, two more extras that were carried over from the original package. So if you don't have anything else to say, do you have any other thoughts on the film? I'm so proud of you, Shane. You're getting into this classic stuff. It's great.
Well, there'll be plenty more classics to watch. Don't you worry about that. I gotta say, I loved it. I'm glad that I am now able to add this movie to my collection.
And for those of you, like I said, that have been putting it off for a long, long time, there's no excuse.
Buy it now.
It is the ultimate collection. I don't think we're going to get any better than this. 20th Century Fox's brand new, pristine, two-disc special commemorative edition. And then everything but the kitchen sink out right now. Buy it. You'll want to relive it over and over again. It's a wonderful film.
If you don't have it in your collection, it should be. All right, DVD Marquee listeners, before we wrap up another episode, I just want to remind you, we want you to tell us where in the world you are. So come to our website, click on the Who's Listening link, and put in your info. We also want you to vote for us on Podcast Alley, visit the site, listen to the other marquees if you haven't heard them. If this is your first one, go back and explore the rest. And we look forward to bringing you many more to keep you entertained.
But, you know, folks, again, thank you so much. We wish we had time to cover more titles than we did this time. Like I said at the beginning of the show, this was like Christmas in June. But we're going to be featuring a lot of these titles on our mini marquee broadcast, the DVD Marquee blog, and last but certainly not least, the iCrave DVD website. Look for plenty a new review in the weeks to come. And before we part company, wanted to give a big shout out to everybody at the Home Theater Forum. By the way, Warner Brothers came in the other night, the folks in the animation and television department. They had a chat, and there's a lot of interesting information about forthcoming releases, so check that out in the film and documentary section of HTF, and you can visit there. It's www.hometheaterforum.com.
Now, Jeffrey, on the last podcast, I threw a shout out to the rope of silicone, and I should have said silicon because I wasn't talking about boob implants. So that's the all rude review at the rope of silicon. Check it out.
Big difference. Sincerest apologies, guys, and we love your show. Okay. I think that about wraps up this puppy. So for my good friend Shane McDonald of Canada Way, I'm Jeffrey Rosato. Thank you very much for listening to episode number 8 at the DVD Marquee, and we'll see you soon.
The Oto is out.
And we're clear.
All right. Excellent.
Excellent. Excellent.